1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting from verse 1.
Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith.
If you remember, when you say wherefore or therefore, that means something happens before. Last time or last week we learned in the second chapter, a closing, St. Paul said, we want to come to you, but Satan hindered us. Now, sometimes some people say, we are God's people, how can Satan hinder us? Because the devil doesn't want gospel to be preached. So he will bring all kinds of obstacles. And once you are famous, like a Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or some great man of God, and if they want to travel to another country, they have to take a special permission to go to preach to those countries. Simple, small people, they can go and they preach the gospel and nobody will notice. So here the Saint Paul is saying, we were worried about you, we were thinking about you, and we could not endure any more that what affliction you are going through, and we want to come there, but we could not come, so we decided to stay in Athens, and we will send Timothy. Now Timothy, as you know, he's not an ordinary man, but he's a young man. Paul was his spiritual father. Timothy's mother was born again. His grandmother was born again. So they raised him in the Lord. And they taught him the word of God. So the Timothy was a completely transformed young man preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, we are going to send Timothy, which is our brother. This time he didn't say my son. Our brother, and he's the minister of the gospel. Not only that, he's working with us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why he's sending there? He said, you have affliction. If you remember last week, we learned they had a lot of persecution, a lot of trials and troubles going through. And so Paul was thinking, when the people have trials and tribulations, and if they are new in the Lord, they give up on Christianity and they go back to the world. So he didn't want these people to be backslidden or their faith to be destroyed. So he said, I'm going to send a Timothy. He will come, comfort you, encourage you. And about what? Concerning your faith. So faith, we have to have faith in God. And strong faith. If you have weaker faith, your faith can be shattered. So we have to have faith in God and faith like Jesus Christ. If you read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Once you have faith of God or faith of Christ in you, then that faith is going to be stronger and he is going to complete your faith. We have to trust in God in each and every minute, each and every second of our life. Trust in God. Let God lead our life. When we start thinking about we can do without God anything we want to do, there is a failure. We need Christ in each and everything. So he's saying, Paul is saying, I'm sending Timothy. He's a strong man in the Lord. He's a man of God. He's a servant of God. He worked with us. We can trust him. We can depend on him. So we are going to send him. So he is going to comfort you. He is going to encourage you. And he is going to challenge your faith. See, if somebody comes to your house and those people are not born again, not saved, they can take you away from the Lord. St. Paul is saying, when the trial comes, the tribulation comes, persecution comes, so your faith gets shaken. But there should be somebody to come and comfort you, encourage you. What I'm trying to say, God has given us authority, power over the sickness, disease, over the demonic forces. We have to take a charge. And when we're living in Christ, we have the supernatural power to destroy the yoke. And so, St. Paul sends Timothy and encouraging them through the letter. Let's go to the verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3.
That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know.
Now St. Paul is saying, as you know, the trials and tribulation comes to you. You should not be moved, because the winds of doctrine comes and people get shaken. Some people come and the relatives, the friends, the pressure of the world can move you or destroy you. We don't have to listen to the enemy. We listen to the voice of God. Once you are in the Word of God and studying the Word and reading the Word, and then you are going to be a strong believer. But some people do not have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to find a Christian brother or sister and talk to them about Jesus. He said, we do not want you to be moved by affliction. And he said, you know, when we came to you, you have seen our affliction, you have seen our trouble, because they came from Philippians jail. They were beaten, Paul and Silas. And they came and established the church. So last couple of chapters we read, he said, when we came there, we shamefully came there and preached the gospel to you. And so they didn't care how they looked and how their wounds were. And that's the way they came there to preach the gospel. He said, you saw our affliction. You saw how we came to you. And we encourage you. The tribulation and trials are going to come. And when the trials and tribulation comes, you should know that God is going to help. And we were witness there. Just like Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I'm going. But you will have trouble. You will have trials. Go to the St. John chapter 16 and verse 33. But what he said, when you have trials and tribulations, what do? Murmur? No. Grumble? No. Cry? No. What do? Be of good cheer.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
And the Word of God says, we are more than a conqueror. Jesus Christ already conquered the demonic forces. Just like a boxer goes in boxing ring and fight and bleeds and come home and give the check to his wife. So who is the conqueror? Wife. He gets beaten, but the wife gets the paycheck. So same way Jesus Christ took all the beating and all the trials and tribulation. Once we receive Jesus Christ, we are more than conqueror, because Jesus Christ conquered everything and gave it to us like a silver platter. But here he says, when I go, trials and tribulations and problems would come. Jesus didn't say the Christianity is a soothsaying. Christian life is a life of trials and troubles. If you go to school and if there is no exam, you don't know where you're going. So you have to have a testing. Once you are tested, then you know where you're going. So Christian life is the life of trials and tribulations. But he says, I have overcome the world. And the Word of God says, I'll be with you, when? Until the end of this world or end of this age. God is going to be with us all the time. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the trial starts. And somebody says, I don't want to be Christian because, you know, when I was in the world, I was having a good time. But that was not a good time. Devil was killing you softly, not even knowing. You know, if there is a very sharp knife, very sharp, and you can even get cut, and you will notice it. Sometime in the bullet goes through your body very fast, and you don't notice it. So the same way the devil comes to you, and he kills you softly. The cigarette, the liquor, the marijuana, and all of these things softly killing you, and you don't even know it. 10, 20, 30 years later, you would know, go to doctor, say your lungs are damaged. And then they get emphysema or lung cancer or some other things. So here saying, I already told you, you will go through the tribulation. You will have trials. But if you have some kind of warning beforehand, then you will be alert. Just like sometimes there are trees and the stop sign you don't see it. So before that stop sign, there is another sign that says, stop sign ahead. So you start better slowing down right here because the head of you is the stop sign coming. So same with Christianity. He says when you're born again, child of God, watch out. The problems ahead of you. But don't worry. Don't try to grumble. Don't try to murmur. Be a good cheer. They will want you to be crybaby. But we don't cry. We say, thank you, Jesus. You've given me grace to go through this. When you got accident, don't look at your car. Say, I'm alive. Praise God. The car is not valuable than you. Our life is more precious in the sight of God. So that's what we have to learn, thanking God and praising God and glorifying God and go through all kinds of trials and tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5.
For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain.
He said, when we came to you, they received Jesus Christ, their faith was strong, and their name was going around the world, and everybody knew how the Thessalonian church was. And he says, that's why I do not want our labor in vain. We worked hard to bring you to Christ. So we don't want you to go in backslidden. So he said, that's why I want to send somebody like Timothy who can encourage you. There are tempters. Who is the tempter? The devil is the tempter. He came to Eve and what he said? He said, you know, God didn't tell you the right thing. If you eat this fruit, you will not die, but you will be just like God. You will be smart. Instead of they getting smart, they became dumb. They didn't know anything. They start taking the leaves and covering themselves and going and hiding themselves in the bushes or leaves. Where was their smartness? They didn't know God can find them out. So why? They became smart. They became fool and evil. So that's what the devil comes to tempt you. James chapter 1, please read from verse 12 to 15. It says that temptation doesn't come from the Lord.
Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Now here he's saying, blessed is the man that endureth the temptation or trial. So this is a blessing. When you go through trials and tribulation, you should say, thank you, Jesus. I'm going one step further. Or maybe a higher class. I'm coming closer to God. All these fiery trials, when you go through, you're getting more pure and more better. So this you should not be saying, why this happened to me? Say, thank God you gave me grace to overcome all of these things. Okay, go ahead. Because he says, when you overcome, you're going to get what? Crown of life. That is eternal.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
See, many people saying, why did you do this? Why did you kill that man? God told me. And many killers saying, God told me to do it. That's not God. That's the God of this world. It's the devil. Devil is going to tell you to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his business. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the enemy, a thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life and what? More abundant life. The more abundant life comes from God, and the devil brings all the trials and temptations and trouble, what? To take away your crown, to take away your joy, take away your salvation, and make you miserable. Verse 14.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
See, first come lusting. First comes the desire to do evil. And you keep on looking at that, just like Eve, start looking at that fruit and says, oh, this is very nice. It's very tempting. It's very good. And if I eat that, I might be wise. So when you look at somebody, some people, you know, there is a poster or something, and when you're going and see a naked girl or something, say, let me park my car and look at it. Instead of, you know, going away, or you see some beautiful girls, follow her where she goes and where she lives. That's what the lusting brings, temptation. And when you dwell on those temptations, so what was the first thing? Looking at something, lusting up something. If you don't look, you cannot avoid not looking. But some people are so much enrolled in the commercial, they tape the commercial only. And then they see the commercial later on. They think that's very tempting. So this is the enemy's trick. Do you lust for something? Lust for car, lust for somebody's wife, lust for somebody's money, lust for somebody's things. And then you think, how can I get that? And start concentrating on those things. And that will bring sin in your life. And sin comes on what? Sin brings death. That's why the Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says what? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Start from verse 6.
But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you.
Saw your work and everything, that's what the first chapter we see, how good the church was. And so he says that Timothy comes and gives us a good news about your faith. About your charity means about your love. And he says, what your charity and what your love is doing? Helping us in the ministry. That means when Timothy went and he says, St. Paul, send me to encourage you in your faith. We don't want you to be a backslidden, so that's why I came here. And he encouraged them. And they saw the love of God in Paul and Silas and Timotheus, so they said, okay, we want to help this. St. Paul is saying, when Timothy came there, you did not send him empty-handed. They gathered the money and gave it to Paul so he can use it in the ministry. And Paul, what he used to do, he used to go to Philippian church, Thessalonica church, and gather the money and give it to the headquarters in Jerusalem. And many a time, St. Paul used that money for the Lord's work. So he says, we saw your love, we saw your charity, we saw your faith, and you remember us always. That means they were always sending him money. God is good. God knows our needs. So the Saint Paul is saying, you always knew our needs, and you always helped us, and you know what need we have. And so they got a good news. And they are praising God and glorifying God for this church. Okay, let's go to the verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7.
Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith.
Now he's saying, now we are comforted. They got so much joy. Timothy comes and says, listen, these people are strong in faith. They didn't waver their faith. All the trial came. And all the tribulation came, but they are strong in the love of God. And they are helping us financially. So don't you worry. They are doing great job. And he got a good news. So he said, we were having problem here and thinking about your affliction. But now we don't have to worry about what will happen to your faith. We are so much encouraged. Verse 8.
For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord.
Now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. What does it mean? Some people, you know, when you have a problem, they don't like to live in this world. He says, you know, so much problem. I don't want to leave. I'm very troubled in this world. So he said, when I saw that you are standing fast in the Lord, we feel like living for you now. We want to live more and we want to enjoy the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of joy and prosperity and health. Sickness and disease doesn't come from God. The enemy brings sickness and disease. For now we live in the Lord. If you stand in faith, then we feel like living for God. And we're living for you. And if somebody disappoints you, he said, I don't like to help this person. This person is always giving me a hard time. But if that person is good and helpful, then you like to be friend with them forever. Okay, let's go for verse 9.
For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?
So he said, now I don't know how to thank you. How to say thank God for you means bubbling joy in his heart. So he said, I don't know how to thank God. You know, sometimes you get something unexpectedly. Then you say, I don't know what to say. Oh, I don't know how to thank God. Our God is a good God. He supplies all our needs. Verse 10.
Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
How is praying? Night and day. Some people say, does he sleep at all? Night and day praying for the church. Night and day praying for your family. How do you do it? Because they are all in your mind all the time. Whenever you think about your friends, your children, your church member, your pastor, you should be thanking them and praying for them and remembering them. Many people do not even thank or don't even say thank you to somebody. We should be praying for our church, our brothers and sisters, our family members, our neighbors, even our enemies. Keep on praying. Whenever you think about them, pray. Don't when you see somebody, zap him, kill him, let him go in an accident, let him have bankruptcy. No, we say, Lord, I'll bless them. When you start blessing others, the blessing will follow you. Especially, pray for the household of faith, the believers. Believers sometimes when they go through financial trouble or all kinds of trouble, they cannot go and beg to other people. So the Christian believers should be helping one another, praying for them and their needs. And that's what the Christianity is all about. Okay, verse 11. This chapter is small. We are going to finish it soon.
Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you.
Now again he's saying, we wanted to come to you, devil hindered, we sent Timothy, we want to come and visit you. We want to come and see you again, encourage you again in the Lord. Christianity is not like a laying an egg like a duck and walk away. The chicken lays the egg and she hatches the egg. But the duck eggs, they have to put it in a chicken, under the chicken. I don't know in American duck what they do. But in India, I have seen. The ducks, they will give the egg and they walk away, go into the water. They go in the water and come back. Once you put the egg in the water, it will not hatch. So the chicken, what she does, she lay egg in one particular place. And always she will come and lay eggs. They will be like a 30 days or 20 days, something. She put it all the eggs. And when they all the eggs finish and she cannot give any more eggs, then she sit on that egg and then keep hovering and making it warm and hatch it. And so some people, they have the children and they what? They throw it in a toilet or throw it in a garbage can. Or throw it in the hospital door, or throw it in the church door and walk away. That is not the sign of good mother or good father. When you have a children, you nourish them, you take care of them, and you let them grow. Some people go and preach the gospel, and people come get saved. Way to go. Now next Sunday, go to church. What church? You go to any church, you will spiritually be dead. Because all the churches are not preaching the full gospel. We are supposed to tell these people, go to church where the full gospel is preached. Go to church where you are seeing signs and wonders and miracles. Go to church where those people are concerned about you. They give you a call. They pray for you. But I call personally and find out how they are doing it and pray for them. If the person is coming continuously and miss one Sunday or two Sundays, then we call and find out how they're doing it. St. Paul is saying, we always thinking about you. Send the Timothy, got a good news. We want to come and visit you. So he wants to make each and every person perfect in Christ. Somebody says, I cannot be perfected. If you cannot be perfected, then Jesus Christ coming here and shedding his blood is nothing. There is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ to make you clean and make you perfect in the sight of God. That's why he has given fivefold ministry in the church to make the church perfect in his sight. Jesus Christ is not coming for the church having a blemishes, having some kind of sin in the church. Church should be perfect in the sight of God. And that's why he's coming. And so he has given us the ways to perfect. Sanctification by the word of God. Sanctification by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctification by the Holy Spirit. And there are so many more ways to be sanctified. So he says, I want to come and make you perfect and see if there is anything lacking in your faith. Our faith should what? Grow day by day. And how we do it? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep Jesus Christ in your heart and in your mind. Verse 12.
And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Jesus Christ is coming. So we have to prepare to meet the Lord. How can we prepare? If you don't go to church, if you don't pray, somebody says, I am prepared. How about your neighbor? I don't care about it. How about your family? I don't care. I want to make it to myself. No, the word of God says when you come to the church and come to offer the offering, think about your brother. If there is something wrong, go back. Ask him forgiveness. Our God wants your heart, not your offering. So what is he saying? The obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. God is looking at us, how we are obedience children. How we doing? What you doing for the Lord? Are we prepared if Jesus Christ comes anytime? Daytime, nighttime, or anytime we're sleeping, can we make it? Some people say, well, once you save forever. And they give you blanket permission to commit sin. No, we read just a few minutes ago. You have to be faithful until you die, or you have to be working until Jesus Christ comes. There is no middle ground. If the person commits sin, he doesn't have to wait until he goes back to the bed. He could ask forgiveness right there. You don't have to wait, oh, when I go and sit in my prayer closet and then I'll ask forgiveness. It will be too late before you come home, hit by a car and gone. He said, oh, that man was a good man. You don't know what he did. But sin can come easily. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The sin comes very easy, very deceitful way.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
See, the sin comes very easily to destroy us. So once you're running in marathon, what do? You cannot run in marathon with all kinds of baggage on your back. When you're running, you don't need any weight. So you can run fast. And so when you're running towards your goal. When they start, what do you call the signal they give, you run. But if you start running 5 feet and stop, did you finish the race? No. We have to finish the race until the goal. And so that's what our Christian race is. We don't have to look back, what Jesus Christ said. When you put your hand on the plow, don't look back. Christianity is always looking further. We have one song, I have decided to what? Follow Jesus. No turning back. He says, I don't care who is coming or who is not coming. I made up my mind to follow Christ. Somebody says, you know, if my husband goes to church, I'll go. If my wife goes to church, I go. If my neighbor goes, I go. Don't worry about anybody. You get up and go. Because when the death comes, are you going to say, death, no, take my husband also with me? No, you have to go alone. When you are born, sometimes the twins they are born, but still they have to come one by one. So each and every person has to come alone and go alone. You have to think, am I ready when Jesus Christ comes? Somebody says, I'm not ready, but I'm always with my husband. When he goes, I'm going to hold on to his pant, and I'll be gone. The pant will fall in your hands. He will be gone. Because the clothes we are wearing, those clothes are not going to be there in eternity. So we have to be ready when Jesus Christ is coming. So we have to prepare. This is the ground to prepare. Some person say, I can go to church once a week. How about a Bible study? I'm so busy. But when God opens the door for you, you should say, how much more I can study? How much more I need to know? Why I have to know these things? Well, there are some neighbors, there are some friends. Your children might ask you a question. Do you have the answers? No. And go to church. Go to Bible study. Read the Bible. Study the Word. Why? Because Christ is coming. We have to be ready. We don't know when He's coming, but we know He is coming very soon. When you're reading this 1 Thessalonians, 3 chapters are already over. The 4th chapter we are going to study next week. It's all about His coming. And when you finish this whole book, each and every chapter, end of the chapter, St. Paul is talking about Jesus Christ coming. We'll go through when we finish the chapter 5. I will point it out in each chapter how he is warning people about his coming. So the Jesus Christ is coming. Sometimes we get so much busy with other things, and then we don't want Jesus Christ is coming. If somebody wants to just get married, Lord Jesus, wait for until I get married. And when you get married, Lord, could you wait to have a children? And when you have children, I don't have a house yet. And you just keep on saying, Jesus, don't come. We don't have to worry. If I have a good house, a good car, and good children, good money, and good church and everything, I say, Jesus, if you come today, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. I wait upon the Lord if Jesus Christ comes today. That's what my prayer is. When we sit on the prayer, we say, Lord, when you come, we should be ready. People are not ready for His coming. We are so much busy, we do not have time to think about God. But St. Paul is saying, Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And he says He is coming with His saints. Are we ready? Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for St. Paul and Timothy and other saints, how they had the courage and the burden to help other church members and bring them to perfection. Bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, give us grace as we preparing ourselves as well as prepare others for your soon coming. We commit our bodies, our souls, and our spirit into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.